Hello and welcome to episode number 54 of Wrinkled Not Dead. Okay, sound check. One, two. Test. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell. Now, are the dogs quiet? Are they all sorted out so they're not going to
know? I don't know. I actually don't know.
Ricky Ricardo will be barking. We did a head count. No one's out on the porch.
1, 2, 5. Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode number 54 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
If this is the first time you've listened to us, well, welcome to the parade here. If this is, your 33rd time listening, then we really appreciate it. But for anybody, it's such a great show, Jen, that I'm going to guarantee that you're going to love it or your money back.
Oh, geez. Well, we want to find us on wrinklednotdead.com, iTunes. If you can spread the word, tell your friends. Word of mouth is the best form of advertising, and then we can continue to bring this wonderful
program
show
for free. See, that's how I can make that guarantee, because money back, it's free.
Exactly.
So, do share it, please. We appreciate it. We've been married for 33 years, and Jen and I have been in broadcasting and theater. That's our whole background. And we've seen adversity in our years, and I'm 65, Jen's 60 years old now, and we want to drag all of our friends, compatriots, and people around the world who are over 50 into the new age and enjoy it to its full extent.
We've had a company, a successful
yep.
company, Michael Bell Productions,
yep.
for many years. We actually incorporated in 1989, and we do voiceovers, we do advertising, we do TV, radio, we do speeches, we do training, you name it, we do it. But along the way, it's been a tough road, and particularly lately, and that is why we are here to help everybody to say, okay, if you're not going to retire, which we cannot ever.
No.
This is what you can do
to
move forward, too. So.
Okay. So again, for the folks who are, this is your 33rd time listening, they're just saying, shut up and get on with rose and thorn.
All right. Okay. You start.
Okay.
Rose is when something good happened during the week, and the thorn is when something bad happened, but we always show what kind of good came out of the thorn as well.
Yes, because the whole show is about positivity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. So if you listened to last week's episode 53, I talked about going for the annual skin cancer exam at Dr. Marriott's,
mm-hmm.
encouraging everybody to do that. Well, I did it. I went at my appointed time, saw Dr. Marriott, and the good news is that everything's fine. I don't have any serious issues on my head, which is where I get, problems. I've had basal cell. I've had a couple of different varieties of skin cancer. Nothing like the big melanoma
no.
thing or anything
because
like that.
You go to the because I get, doctor and get
and,
it checked.
And that's the thorn. Because even though everything came out fine, there are still areas and patches of potential problems. And
mm-hmm.
to deal with those, Dr. Marriott and many other physicians will do this. There is a hated spray called liquid nitrogen, which is it's a spray, and it's at minus 325 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
So they shoot this stuff on you, and it freezes the area solid. And then, I'm touching one of them now, and then it sort of swells up, and then after a while it crusts over, and the skin sloughs off, and you mm-hmm. kind of got new baby skin there. But it takes the additional risk out of having those patches of pre-cancer conditions. So I had to have 14 different spots dealt with. So I kind of look kind of messy today. I do. And each one of these little spots, she does at for 8 seconds at 325 degrees below zero. Eight seconds. So it's kind of an ordeal. The last one was on my upper lip, right on my upper lip. And I knew she was saving the best treat for last. And I said, Dr. Marriott, this is going to, she said, yeah, okay, it's okay to hang on to me. And I did. I grabbed her by the shoulders, and she counts it down, like 8, 7, 6, tss, going, oh, no. So I looked at her, and it was absolutely impromptu, but I said, Dr. Marriott, if I didn't love you, I had to kill you.
So is the moral of the story to stay out of the sun or what?
Well, the moral of the story is use the sunscreen, wear a hat. But the fact of the matter is, for as you get older, you're probably going to have some issues. A lot of people with very fair skin like I have, Scottish heritage, French Canadian heritage, you just got to get checked out, period. So I've been on and on about this, and I shouldn't, but anyway, that's my rule.
No, it's very important. If you catch many cancers, if you catch early, are highly
curable. Oh, yeah. Everything that I've had thus far, mm-hmm. not a problem. It had to be dealt with one way or another, but it was dealt with, so good.
Well, good for you. Well, okay, I'll start with my rose.
Okay.
The rose happened last night. We went out for dinner with some dear friends, mm-hmm. and we took one of our friends. She's been on our show before, Elaine. She's an older lady. Mm-hmm. She's like our second mother.
Yeah, she is.
So our friend, we took her out along with other friends to celebrate an early Mother's Day, because in the United States and in Canada, a week from today, we're recording this on Sunday, so next Sunday is Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And she had plans with her own family. She's the mother of them. And so we wanted to show our appreciation. So I guess what I'm trying to say is you don't have to actually have a mother to celebrate Mother's Day. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who have been like a mother to you.
Yeah.
So show respect, maybe take them out, send them a card, drop by.
Yeah, if your mother has passed, then you still have...
Absolutely.
You can do something.
Or even not. My mother's still alive and I'm going to be going to see her, but you need to celebrate those other people that are like additional mothers as well.
I get your point now.
Now, the thorn is packing. I absolutely hate packing. I'm going back to see my mother.
Right.
And I just absolutely hate it. So I've decided I've come down with a sort of a plan that may help you guys. I always pack many days before and I pack all the toiletries and the little things that, you know, you're not going to need during the week. Get those packed, get them done. And then I've decided there's a 3-outfit, 3-day rule.
Okay.
So I'm going for 9 days, well, really 10 days. So I've got an outfit, the same outfit I fly out, I'm going to fly back in.
Mm-hmm.
There's one.
One.
Then I have 9 more days. So I'm going to take 3 more outfits. 3 outfits should last 9 days is what I'm trying to say. Because honestly, everybody overpacks and they end up bringing back all this stuff.
I do.
So I'm going to stick to this plan and I'll let you know how it worked out.
Okay. And of course, you'll loathe and detest your clothes
when you get back.
That's right. So, I mean, this is now stressful. I found something interesting about stress.
It's
just, you know, we used to have a little segment called Apropos of Nothing. Well, it kind of is like one.
Sure.
This is stress. People are now saying that the world is so stressful that they're attending concerts called ambient sounds. Now, this, before you start laughing at this, this is kind of interesting. It's atmospheric sounds and very repetitive sounds like Buddhist chanting or...
Like the
Yeah, exactly. Kind of exactly like that.
Or drum beats.
Or, yeah, but they get a whole bunch of music. And this goes on and on and on. And it's a big thing in New York City right now where some of these concerts go on for 10 hours. Some of them go on for 24 hours. And people literally camp out on the floor around the musicians who, you know, get tired and exchange one for another. They say that it's just it's a way to absolutely cut yourself out of the stressful world that we live in and just be there with these organic sounds that have been with us since time immemorial.
Since we started walking.
Exactly. Yeah. We've, you know, some form of entertainment like this. So the last one, anyway, this is a report that said the 24-hour drone, there are about 300 people camped out on a concrete floor. One guy said, rarely have I been to a concert where everybody is lying down the whole time.
Well, maybe Woodstock. But that was for another reason altogether.
Yeah, we're not going there. Anyway, so that's the thing on stress and what people are starting to think about it and how to deal with it. So I thought it was kind of cool.
Well, there's also that thing now, there's a class where you go in and they've got these blow-up beds and you bring your own blanket or sleeping bag and they talk you through an hour of sleeping.
It's a nap
like
deal?
A nap deal. Well, remember when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And there was nap time in kindergarten?
Yeah.
And you would go over, you'd have your lunch or your snack, and then it was nap time and you go and you grab your mat and you lie down for a little while?
That's right, you did.
It's kind of the same thing for adults.
Wow.
Why not? You know, we have much more stress usually than children.
I read about that, and they say that they do 15 minutes of kind of stretching exercises, and then you plunk down, and for 45 minutes they turn off the lights and away you go.
And probably play some of this music
this
or drum beats.
Ambient sound.
Exactly.
Stuff. Maybe they do. It's kind of cool.
So it's interesting that we're gearing our sort of time off towards those kind of things.
Yeah, that's true. Our major thrust of the program today is on pets.
Yeah, aging and aging pets,
and pets,
aging people with pets,
yes,
you name it.
The power of the pet. And what I found, and I always do the digging here, is that there are a whole bunch of benefits, of course, to this. But for the animals, we're talking about rescue animals, they find a safe home with somebody who's obviously a caring individual who may or may not be a senior. But they get great homes and they're not destroyed. And
exactly.
That still happens.
Very
important. There's no euthanasia because they finally found a home. But the benefits to elderly people are unbelievable. Listen to this. Pets lower blood pressure and pulse rate.
And 21% fewer visits to the doctor.
Huh.
Because you're caring for your pet and not concentrating so much on yourself.
Less depression.
That is a big one.
It really is.
Easier to make friends because when you have a pet, you're either out walking your pet, you meet other people, you're going to the vet for your pet, you're meeting people there, or you're going to get your pet groomed or doggy daycare, and you meet a lot of people.
Which is the next point, exactly. It keeps the senior person more active because they are doing that. They are, you know, they've established a routine to walk the dog or the cat or walk the cat, whatever, or whatever animal they have.
Exactly.
They're dealing with it. And
yeah,
so that's kind of cool.
And my friend lost 2.5 pounds walking a dog which in 1 week, which is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
And pets offer affection and unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
That is like the bottom line. When I come home, I know that our dogs love me.
Yeah.
No matter what.
And they're all, I mean, it's so fun because when we have our godchildren's pets, we have 5. And I line them all up at the front door. Waiting for you to come in. And they go nuts. They're scratching at the door. They hear every sound. It's a wonderful thing. And of course, when you open the door, how nice is that?
It's fantastic. I can't imagine life without a pet. But I'm not just talking just dogs either.
Yeah.
I mean,
a
goldfish can do the same thing. It doesn't matter. It's just caring for a pet.
Isn't it a place where your mom is, have a parrot?
Yeah. My mother's in a nursing home, and they brought in a parrot. And my mother just loves this parrot. Now, they bring dogs in from time to time.
Yeah.
But the parrot actually lives there. And the person who owns the nursing home or who manages the nursing home went to quite a few studies and classes about pets and how pets are so important in a nursing home or an elderly home.
Mm-hmm.
And it really lifts spirits.
Yeah, it does. And there's a very important other factor to this, too, and that's pets can help to alleviate the loss of a loved one, like your spouse. You know, you've been married for 50 years and suddenly you're on your own. Well, sometimes, at least to fill the gap a little bit, having a pet with you, it helps.
It absolutely does. And that leads into the next one. Pets fight loneliness.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people have said, if I didn't have my pet, whether it be a guinea pig, whether it be a bird, whether it be a cat or a dog or whatever, I would feel absolutely isolated.
How many times have you heard the expression, I wouldn't want to be here if I didn't have my pet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So people, you know, it makes them worthwhile. They don't want to just give up and roll up and die,
right?
Because they have a responsibility to their animal, to their pet.
Because it takes your mind off yourself, which is very, very important. And also, pets give a sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to bring a point: is my brother? I spoke in the last show about my brother having some mental issues, and we're trying to find him an emotional support dog. Because he feels safe when he has a dog with him. He feels loved and safe.
And he's not alone.
And he's not alone. And that's becoming a major thing, that these emotional support dogs are allowed, once they're trained and you've got all the certificates, are allowed just about anywhere. In, you know, an apartment building or a grocery store or whatever, or even on a plane. I know if I could have an emotional support on an airplane, I would be, my fear of flying would probably be diminished quite a bit.
Well, look at how many programs now are supplying animals for people who suffer from PTSD.
Yes.
First responders, soldiers, sailors, all that. And it's become quite an issue. In fact, and you take any flight now and you're going to find three or four animals on the plane.
It's amazing.
It's grown a lot.
Southwest Airlines is great.
They are. Southwest here in the United States, yes, they are.
Very pet friendly. So if you're flying, if you need to take your dog on a plane or your cat or whatever, I think they're like the number one pet friendly airline, I think.
I don't, there could be others, but that one is a definite obvious one, Southwest. So the sense of security that these animals bring you is very important. And one thing I wanted to point out before I forget, because I found a lot of this information on a website called the Pets for the Elderly Foundation. The Pets for the Elderly Foundation. You can look it up. Joining Friends Together for Life. They have a nice, it's a simple site. They're from Arizona. But it's very informative, and there's all kinds of links on it that people would enjoy. I'll give it the name once again. The Pets for the Elderly Foundation, Joining Friends Together for Life. And they go on to a couple of other kind of fun facts, which I always love.
Let's share those.
Oh, yeah, these are great, great. You know that 95% of people talk to their pets?
Well, that does not surprise me. I carry on full conversations. And do you know that pets help when people feel sad? 82% of the time, it brings people out of their sadness.
Physically feeling bad, people respond that 71% of people respond that they feel better physically with their pet. So, I mean, the aches and pains. I don't quite get this one, but I can understand how people would give that response. 71% of people would give that response. So it makes maybe it makes you forget that you have arthritis for a little while or something.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, and I haven't looked into this. Petting a pet, which is the next one, touching a pet, they said 65% makes them feel better. Maybe the touch and all that does something to the serotonin level in the brain and actually lifts one. We'll do some research. We'll put it on the blog, wrinklednotdead.com, and let you know sort of mechanically and physically, chemically, how that all works.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to do that.
Because remember I shared that thing from John Tesh that had cats, and they brought cats into a nursing home, and particularly one area where there were senile dementia. It was amazing. One older gentleman hadn't talked, and he put, there were a bunch of little kittens from the Humane Society, and they were trying to get them bigger and stronger so they could adopt them out. And it was amazing how these people came out of themselves, were feeding the little kittens with their bottles.
I saw that.
Wasn't that amazing?
I had that picture in my mind when you were saying that. It was online. Maybe it was Facebook it was on. Huh?
It was, and
I
shared
Facebook.
It.
Yeah, and you shared, that's right, you shared it. And it was this elderly woman bottle feeding a kitten. And she just glowing. I mean, it was wonderful. That's a great picture.
Yeah, you look at the looks on their faces.
Yeah.
And it is sheer bliss. It's kind of like the look of a mom or dad when they've just had, you know, when they've had the baby, they got a little baby in their arms.
Mm-hmm.
It's that pure bliss and happiness.
Mm-hmm. And focus.
And focus, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're nowhere except at that moment with that animal.
Isn't
that great?
You're in the moment.
Yeah, in the moment.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we all hope to achieve, isn't it?
Oh, gosh.
Past, present, all.
Hard to do.
It is. And interestingly enough, 57% of people who responded say they confide in their pets. Yes, I did eat a donut. I don't know. What are they talking about?
I mean, confiding. I know when, like for example, once a year I go off for my annual breast exam and I'm always scared.
Yeah.
And I always say to Chloe, everything's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay, I think.
Chloe, who's almost 16 years old.
I know. But just verbalizing it to somebody.
And she's deaf, by the way. So you're confiding in the,
you know. Somehow she understands.
I know she does.
What I want to talk about with pets, not to interrupt here, but it's very important because I don't want to move on without saying this, is that some people as they get older don't want any pets.
Uh-huh.
They've had the guinea pig, they've had the alligator, they've had the mouse, they've had the this, they've had the that, and they just want time for themselves. 100% fine. And actually, it's great if they recognize that and move on with that rather than feel guilty or look after the kids, you know, dogs or cats or whatever, that they know what they want. So I'm not trying to shame anybody who doesn't want a pet into having a pet.
Yeah.
We're just talking about those people that
would benefit by having one.
Yeah. And once again, you also have to understand that pets, particularly dogs and cats, cost some money.
They do.
It's very important to keep your dog or cat's teeth clean. That's the number one killer in older pets.
It's so hard, too.
It is. It
really
is. You have to try to clean their teeth, and if you can't, you need to take them to the vet and have it done professionally, and all that costs money.
Oh, that's expensive.
Titer's test. We've talked about that so many times, that you don't need to inoculate or vaccinate your dog every year. A titer's test will tell the level of corona, parvo, rabies, all that in a dog's system. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, many times with little dogs, we know we've only had to vaccinate once.
Yep, once. And the levels, first, and that's it.
And the levels had stayed high enough that because otherwise you can blow out their immune system.
Yeah.
So check out Titer's test. We've had it on the blog before. We'll have it on again. Point being, all of this does cost money. Uh-huh. But you have to weigh out, can I afford that? Is it worth the love that I get from the pet?
Right. More than one set of couples that I've met have said, look, this is our last animal because we want to travel.
Yeah.
And you don't want to feel bad about leaving your pet, who may be getting older too, because they're confused and it's difficult. So I really understand what you're saying, and I totally agree with it. For the most part, I mean, the bottom line on the story on this issue is that pets are an integral component to the social support network of a lot of people and probably contribute to public health and well-being. It is, in general, a great, great thing.
And haven't pets been around a long time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see, Egyptian hieroglyphics of animals.
Yeah, dogs and cats.
Yeah, and cats particularly, back then, as I recall.
Well, and our friend has horses, and she just loves them.
Oh,
she goes out, and she loves them just like a dog or a cat or a guinea pig or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, growing up, I was fortunate enough to have parents that let us have any pet that we wanted.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think I told the story about, we had guinea pigs. We had an alligator that...
What, do you remember the alligator's name?
I don't. I was asking my mom that, and I can't remember.
And she can't either?
Well, my brother had the alligator, because, he's a guy. And, and we had an above-ground pool, and he kind of ate through the pool. We put him in the pool. But long story short, we ended up giving him to the zoo, and he went on to live and grow very large.
Oh, God.
But just caring for all of these animals. I remember there was a 4-H club that I belonged to in school, and we had little chickens, and I brought a chicken home, and I told the story about when I took the chicken to bed to keep the chicken warm, and my mom knew about it, but my dad didn't, and he heard the chirping from the other room. He said, what is going on? He found the chicken in my bed, and he said, what, do we live in a barn? But I have to
typical
say...
Typical dad of that era.
Yeah, it is.
What is this?
But up here was probably smiling. But the bottom line is, it teaches children and at a young age how to care and love for an animal, feeding and keeping fresh water and all of that, but older too. It makes us feel wanted and needed and loved.
Before we leave the topic, because I stumbled over this the other day, be aware of the changing habits with your dog or your animals feeding as well. As they get older, they can develop allergies to the food that they've been happy to have. And then you think everybody panics, like, oh, the dog or the cat's not eating. But they may have developed an allergy to something. And now you'll find that there's a whole industry about pet food products that are free of this and that and corn and this. And so be careful with that stuff. And remember that after a certain period, they need to be on senior food. So they cut down on the calories because they're not as active as they used to be, just like human beings. We've just done that with Chloe, and she's now gobbling stuff up. But for a while, it was really hard to get her to eat.
Yeah, we were trying too many different foods that were too rich.
Stupid.
And so bottom line is, if you have time in your life, adopt a pet. It's well worth it.
Leads us right into what we should be talking about next is Jen's Health Minute.
Well, this has been a good year and a bad year. There are still a lot of hurdles to overcome. We're scratching back, but man, it is difficult.
Brutal.
Very brutal. And so with everything and with age and that, I've developed a thing that's called the scratch that itches. Basically, something is itching. There's no sign of it. I scratch and then these welts come up.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do basically with stress, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I was on it's not called prednisone, but it's a steroid for my glaucoma eye surgery.
Right.
So that coupled together with everything that was going on started to make me itch.
Yeah.
And my fingernails started falling out.
And you thought you had fingernail fungus.
I did. I thought I had a fingernail fungus, and I found out when I went to a real specialist about this. She just said, I've seen this over and over again. And she gave me a simple solution.
Mm-hmm.
She said to soak your fingernails in vinegar every other day. Not every day. every other day for 10 minutes, white vinegar, mm-hmm. just regular vinegar.
Yep.
And that will stimulate blood flow. It'll kill any bacteria and it'll help strengthen your nails. And she said, I said, well, what about peroxide? I tried hydrogen peroxide. She said, no, that is a little too harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Try this. And I'm telling you, it is working quickly.
Wow. Well, mm-hmm. that's good. And I could tell the difference in your fingernails. You've only seen her one time. And you have to keep them real short too, right?
You keep them super, super, super short. And I guess this is something that's quite common. She said the same thing happened to her when many years ago she went through a lot of trouble. Her brother developed brain cancer and, oh, you name it. She went through it.
Yeah,
and her hair started to fall out and her fingernails started to go wrong, bad. And her skin, because, that's a big portion of our body.
So, largest organ in your body.
Yeah, exactly. And so she now takes hair, skin, and nail vitamins with biotin.
Oh, okay.
And she said biotin is very good. And I was told, too, collagen is very good. And you can get that in a powder form as well.
Is it expensive?
It's expensive enough, but not too bad. You can buy it in bulk.
Well, you need it.
And it doesn't harm you, and it helps.
By the way, I did a blog post on the scratch that itches and that
Sarna.
Product. What was? I'm just trying to remember because we keep saying Sarnia, which is of course a town in Canada. It's Sarna, and I put a link on there if you want. If not expensive, it's like $10, but Sarna seems to help with that quite a lot. I've noticed you using it. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll put a link. Excuse me. I'll put a link on our blog, wrinklednotdead.com, with the various things I'm using for hair and nail health.
Okay. Sounds good. Time off.
Okay. You start.
Oh, all right. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Well, this is actually a referral from one of the people we went to dinner with last night, but you've all already read this and raved about it. So
loved it.
I love to read, but anyway, it's a novel called The Widow by Fiona Barton. And this has been a huge book in the past. People who like Girl on the Train, if you like that, of that genre, I guess it's hot stuff, huh? It's really good.
It just keeps you, it's a page turner.
Yeah.
And it's easy read too. Because sometimes you just need an easy read.
Yeah, because I got a crummy book right now. So I'll put that on there on the blog as well. But The Widow by Fiona Barton is the book. And I can't wait. I'm one of those people who will hardly ever give up on a book,
even
if it's crap. What an idiot. I mean, there are millions of books, but Mike, no, he'll keep on going till the end. I'll never drop kick the thing off. Anyway.
It's respect for the author.
Like, even if they're dumb and not very talented.
But you know what I noticed back to pets?
Yeah.
Your happiest time is sitting on the sofa reading
with
Boone on your lap.
Boone Pickens.
Yeah. This white chihuahua on your
God.
Lap.
Oh, my God. He's the most affectionate son of a gun dog you have ever met.
I'll post a picture on our
Boone.
Blog.
Boone's got to come on there. We don't even own Boone, but he's with us a lot. So, and he is, without question, the happiest little clown you've ever met. And so, yeah, you're right. He sits there on my lap, cuddly, and I'll read for as long as I'm allowed to before one of the other dogs decides they have to do something.
And that's your heaven.
That is heaven mm-hmm. for me. It is. So what's your time off?
My time off in my heaven is lying in bed with all the dogs. And I mean, usually we have five dogs.
Yeah.
Our dogs that we have, Chloe, the teacup poodle.
Right.
Abby, the chihuahua.
Yeah.
Ricky Ricardo. The teeny tiny chihuahua with the big mouth.
Who wouldn't take our name.
And exactly like Cher. And then our two dogs that are, I mean, we're their gramps and grams.
Yeah.
Our goddaughter and her husband. T. Boone Pickens, a white chihuahua,
right,
and Pixie, the love of my life.
Yeah, good old
We Pix. Go way back.
Way back.
So I had all five dogs on the bed, and I was watching Wendy Williams. Wendy Williams is this wonderful talk show host, and
she's
a
stand-up
comedian
as well, right?
She started as a comedian and on radio, and she is so talented.
Right.
She can sit in the chair and talk about hot topics like you would not believe.
She can also talk about pretty much nothing, she's entertaining.
She's amazing. I absolutely admire her, and she's got all kinds of interesting guests on her
show.
Wendy Williams. She's here in the United States, and you can also see her in Canada. I don't know how far she goes outside those two countries.
Yeah.
My favorite show, Everything is Right with the World. All the dogs are sitting there, and we are just having a blast.
Now, I must say, in that room, It smells a bit Dutch.
It does. That's why I went out and bought some.
All that potpourri came. Yeah, I noticed there's this huge bag of potpourri that got dragged into the house, and I thought, well, you know, we got a lot of fresh air in here. What do you? Oh, yeah, okay. Now I know.
Well, pets do give off odors, but in my nostrils, it smells very good.
Okay. Remember when?
Yes.
This is another of our little goalpost things that we like to.
Okay,
to talk
I have
about.
A question for everybody out there
reminiscing
and you.
For me.
Yeah, and right. Everybody listening, think back. What was your favorite toy growing up?
Ooh. That's hard. Because, you know, your memories are your memories. And so maybe when you're 10, the toy would be different than when you're 5.
But has to be one.
There is one. Mini bricks.
Mini bricks? What are those?
They were red bricks, little plastic bricks. And you could build, you know, castles out of them or forts out of them. Well, I'm a guy, so that's what we built.
Yeah.
There was a series of a two-piece one, a four-piece one, and a six-piece one. A short one, a medium one, and a longer one. And you combined these things and built structures out of them. It's kind of like checkers is to chess, because if in the toy world, the chess would have been a Meccano set with, you know, rivets and bolts and, you know, screws and all that kind of stuff. But making it more simplistic, mini bricks were it.
Again, this is for everyone listening, because you all have your favorite toy. What feeling do you remember it giving you, those bricks?
Competition.
Uh-huh.
With my brothers. Because we'd have all these mini bricks, and everybody got a load of them. So we had a considerable pile of mini bricks, and we would build competitive structures. Whose is going to be the most sturdy? Whose is going to be the most unbelievable looking? Who's going to be the one that will destroy the other one? That came down to that. Well, look at mine, more powerful
boys.
Than your, it's boys. It is. But they were wonderful toys.
My favorite toy was Chatty Cathy. Chatty Cathy was this doll that you, back in the old days, you pulled the string.
Oh, yeah,
in the
sure,
back
yeah,
of her
yeah.
neck. And then she would talk and say, I'm Chatty Cathy and I love you. Or I'm Chatty Cathy.
Actually,
and
you're
beautiful.
It was more like.
It was.
See, she said, well, yeah, that.
Well, I love this Chatty Cathy until.
Oh, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
The Twilight Zone, which was a great show. There's been nothing like it. Came out with an episode called Talking Tina.
Oh.
And Talking Tina looked and was just like my Chatty Cathy. And this doll was the favorite of this little girl who was ill.
Yeah.
And Telly Savalas, I don't know why I remember. He was,
was
the bad. He was the bad dad in this. And long story short, Talking Tina came alive and was threatening to kill him. I mean, she was still a doll, but she was talking. She would say, I'm Talking Tina and I love you to the girl.
Right.
And then when the girl was asleep, she'd turn her head and look at Telly and go, I'm Talking Tina and I'm going to kill you.
So this terrified you, I'm sure.
That Chatty Cathy was in the trash can before you knew it. But you know what was even scarier?
What?
Telly had thrown Talking Tina in the trash.
Yeah.
And she was talking through the trash can lid and ended up back in the bed somehow with the daughter. So it was creepy. And that was the end of my Talking Tina.
Okay. Well, okay. Here's
Chatty
your
Cathy.
Chatty Cathy. Well, Talking Tina, God knows where she could be here in the house.
<laughs> I know. <laughs>
So here's a homework assignment for everybody now, okay?
Okay.
Now we're getting into the summer months, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. And so people are going to, you know, outdoor events and parties and stuff like that. And you've been kind of sequestered in the house a lot more. So you're going to be socializing a little bit more. A good icebreaker? Ask them the question that you just asked me. What was your favorite toy when you grew up? And see what happens. I've got to think that it starts a great conversation.
Yeah, because the feeling that I got from my Chatty Cathy was I had a friend talking to me when I wanted them to.
Oh.
I know that's weird and deep. And
even
probably,
if it was...
Yeah. So like, you know, if I couldn't have a sleepover, like a girlfriend could come over just for fun. I had my Chatty Cathy.
Well, that's kind of that's kind of actually sad in a way.
No,
but,
no.
No? Not sad?
No, not at all. It was great.
You had a confidant just like the pet.
Yeah.
But you didn't even have to have a pet. You had Chatty Cathy.
And we had many pets,
and
too.
The chicken.
Full house.
Did you have the chicken while you had the Chatty Cathy?
Oh, no. The chicken came much later on in fifth grade. Chatty Cathy was...
The egg, then the chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Chatty Cathy came way early, way, way early.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right. Okay, we always end the show with a quote.
And you have a great quote.
I have one. I do. You scrounged these ones up when I was doing something else. Dogs do speak, but only to those who listen. It's true, too.
It is so true. Your dog can tell you so much about what they want, don't want.
If they can only tell you what hurts.
I know.
That's the only thing, isn't it?
I know.
Doesn't it drive every pet owner out there about their animal when they're in distress? And you say, God, I wish I could talk to you and find out what it is. Does your heart hurt? Does it just drives you mad,
doesn't it? It does. But they talk to you with
eyes. They talk to you with their expressions. Yeah. And for the most part, dogs do speak, but only to those who listen.
So listen to your dogs or cats or guinea pig. Okay, I have one.
Take it home.
My goal in life is to be as good a person as my dog thinks I am. Mm. They love you unconditionally. Listen to them. Love them. And remember, we weren't born yesterday.